I want to take you back up onto Mount Carmel for a little bit. As we talked about last Sunday morning, this was the site of the great showdown between Elijah, the prophet, and the prophet of God, Jehovah, and the 450 prophets of Baal. And there, by God's power, when Elijah prayed and God sent down fire from heaven, this showed that Jehovah is God and that Baal is a false god. Those prophets of Baal had cried out and cut themselves and cried aloud, but still Baal was silent, as we knew we would know that to be the case. But that's not all that happened on Mount Carmel on that day. There's something else that's extremely significant that happened that very day. And it goes back to what God had told Elijah when he told him to go and confront King Ahab of Israel. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." Go see Ahab. Even though the king had been looking for him and wanting to kill him, no doubt. Go see Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. You may remember that there had not been rain on the earth, neither dew, for 3.5 years at this point. Extreme drought conditions. But now God has promised rain. This drought was a judgment of God against Ahab and Israel for their unfaithfulness. But now, after this confrontation on Mount Carmel to show that again Jehovah is the true God, now God is ready to send rain again. And as we'll see, that promise that God made was fulfilled in answer to prayer. There's some important lessons on prayer, some principles of powerful prayer I'd like for us to see in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 to the end of the chapter. Also with some commentary from the book of James, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Before we look at 1 Kings 18, I want us to jump over to James for a moment. I've read that the book of James says more about prayer than any other letter to Christians that we have in the Scriptures. I had not realized that. It says more about prayer than any other book. James himself was a great man of prayer. Tradition has it that his knees, James' knees, were so hardened from spending so much time kneeling in prayer that his knees were said to be as tough as camel skin. James himself highlights Elijah's prayers as an example of powerful prayers. James 5:16. "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And he gives this example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. There are many occasions when Elijah prayed from which James, by inspiration, could have drawn from. But it wasn't the prayer that Elijah prayed when he raised the son of that widow. Nor was it the prayer that brought down fire from heaven. But rather it was the prayers that Elijah prayed, first of all, to stop the rain from coming down. And then to ask God to send rain again. And again, James uses this scenario from Elijah, his prayers, as an example of the prayers of a righteous man that were extremely effective. Well, let's go back now to 1 Kings chapter 18 and observe this powerful prayer in its context. Verse 41. This is after the contest on Mount Carmel. This is after the slaying of the 450 prophets of Baal. And we read in verse 41, "Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" I want to suggest to you that I don't think Elijah heard a physical sound of rain. We'll read later that there were no clouds in the sky. I don't believe Elijah heard rain with audibly, but I believe that he heard it with the ear of faith. God had told him, "You confront Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." And that was so real. He knew that because after these events had occurred, that God was ready to send that rain. And so he said to Ahab, "I hear the sound of rain." He had fulfilled God's condition. It was time for the rain to come. And Elijah believed that it would. Verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel." It's not to eat and drink, but it's to pray. The rest of the scripture says, "Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees." But I thought that was so significant. Ahab eating and drinking, but Elijah was praying. Verse 43, "Elijah said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And so he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And seven times he said, 'Go again.'" I believe this verse reflects probably a series of events. Elijah going up to the top of the mountain to pray. He kneels down, head between his knees, and he prays. He looks up and he instructs his servant. Jewish tradition says that this may have been that son who had been raised from the dead. We just don't know. But he says to this servant, "Go and look and see if you see the rain clouds forming." He comes back the first time and said, "There is nothing." So he prays some more. He raises up, "Go check again." And he does. And the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time. And each time the servant comes back and said, "There is no rain." But then we read verse 44. "It came to pass the seventh time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising up out of the sea.' So he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.'" A big cloud? No. Can you picture in the horizon a small cloud, and perhaps that servant just kind of put his hand out there and it covered the size of that cloud? But that was enough evidence for Elijah. He knew God was about to send rain. And he's so convicted of this that he says, "Go tell Ahab he better make that descent right quick, because the rain is coming. The rain is coming." What was it that he had to prepare? Ahab, that is. Someone suggested perhaps he had to put on his rain tires or put the top up on his convertible chariot. I doubt that's it. But he had to make preparation. He needed to leave. Elijah knew he needed to leave before the valley of Kishon became a swamp and the road to Jezreel became impassable. Elijah is confident because God has spoken. It's going to rain. It's not going to be just a shower. It's going to be a heavy downpour. And you better get down the mountain in a hurry. Verse 45. "Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel." Jezreel was some 15 or 20 miles away. The king had a palace also at Jezreel, as well as in Samaria. By God's strength, we learn in the next passage, verse 46, that Elijah on foot, again by God's strength, outran on his feet Ahab to Jezreel. God's power with Elijah. But let's go back to the rain. It was a heavy shower. It was a heavy downpour. Just what was needed to fill the ponds and lakes, start the creeks and rivers flowing again, to raise the water level in the land. James 5:18 that we read earlier, Elijah prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. There had been drought conditions, but Elijah prays, God answers, and he gives that rain that provided sustenance for the earth. What does this teach us? Again, James says this event teaches us that there is power in prayer because God answers prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. From these two texts, 1 Kings 18 and James chapter 5, I want to suggest some principles of powerful prayer. Some principles of powerful prayer. First of all, Elijah prayed with faith. He prayed with faith. James would say, James 1 verse 6, but let him ask in faith. After that passage in verse 5 where it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will not upbraid you, will not rebuke you for asking, but he will give wisdom liberally. But James follows that by saying, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And we see Elijah not doubting at all, do we? I hear the sound of rain, not a cloud in the sky, but he heard it with the ear of faith. Seeing a cloud just the size of a man's hand in the horizon, but that's enough to let him know God's about to fulfill his word. He prayed with faith. God had promised. He knew God would fulfill his promise. A principle of powerful prayer for you and for me is to pray believing, to pray with faith. Second principle, Elijah prayed relying on God. Again, God had promised rain with the ear of faith. Elijah heard the sound of rain. Why did Elijah need to pray? We might reason similarly, why pray for our daily bread when God has promised to provide for our necessities? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all the necessities of life, shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. If he's made that promise, why pray? Or why pray for forgiveness if we repent of our sins since God has promised to forgive us? And the answer is, of course, no doubt God wanted him to pray. And Elijah was willing and demonstrated his willingness to pray. He relied upon God. He knew God to be one who answers his prayer. He knew that this rain was coming from God himself. And he asked God to send that rain. Even so, for you and for me, God wants it impressed on our minds that all blessings come from him, but that we must also rely on him. He knows our needs before we ask, but he wants us to pray. Why? Because in praying, we're acknowledging our dependence upon him. Elijah relied upon God in his prayers. Notice this also, Elijah prayed even though he was busy. Read through chapter 18 and you'll see an incredible day. Again, standing alone before those 450 prophets of Baal, watching those prophets of Baal cry out all morning long till midday. And Elijah, you know, taunts them and says, maybe Baal is asleep, maybe he's gone aside, maybe he's gone on a journey. Cry louder. And that's when they cut themselves until the time of the evening prayer. All day long, he's witnessed these events. And then he prays and God sends down fire from heaven. It's been a long day already. But God has said, I'm going to send the rain. So he went up back to the top of the mountain and prayed. I've read that 52 days are recorded of the life of Jesus in his earthly ministry. 52 days. Mark chapter 1 records one of the busiest of those days. The day was packed with teaching, preaching, healing, other miracles. But notice Mark 1 verse 35, the follow-up to that incredibly busy day. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. From the life of our Lord, we see it must have been very, very important for him to pray. So important that even after that busy day, he had to begin early talking to his Heavenly Father. If it was that important to him, if it was that important to Elijah, Shouldn't it be that important to you and to me? Notice next, Elijah prayed with humility. Notice again, verse 42, he went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees. I believe that posture of prayer reflected humility. Here is the very one who had taken that dead little boy up to his room and prayed over him. And God restored life to him. Here's that one who stood on the mount with those 450 prophets of Baal and called down fire from heaven. He had seen awesome answers to his prayers. But we don't see him going up and standing boldly for everyone to see, saying, God, send rain. But rather, he's bowing to the ground with his face between his knees, praying with humility that God would fulfill his word. James would say, he gives more grace. He says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Elijah prayed with humility. I believe also we can see Elijah prayed with selflessness. He prayed with selflessness. He wasn't praying for himself, but for a suffering land. And when Elijah prayed, he also prayed that God would be glorified. Even in that prayer earlier, in calling down fire from heaven, in verses 36 and 37, we read, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. For whose glory is he praying? For the glory of God. Show them that you are God. He prayed with selflessness. He also prayed fervently. You remember that passage from James? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The very next passage, verse 17 of James 5, and that example that James gives, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed fervently. He prayed earnestly. And he also prayed with persistence. How many times did he pray on Mount Carmel, requesting fire to be brought down from heaven? One time. How many times did he pray that God would restore the life of this little boy who had died? Three times. On this occasion, he prayed one time, go see, go check it out, servant, no clouds. After three times, go check it out, no clouds, no rain. Would we have given up at that point? Would we have said, well, it must not be time? He kept praying. He kept praying. 7 times he prayed. He was persistent in his prayers. And on that 7th time, he saw that cloud. And he knew that the rain was coming. Jesus also encouraged his disciples to be persistent in prayer. He told them a parable to illustrate that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Luke 18, verse 1. We need to be persistent in our prayers. Perhaps this is the key, however. Elijah prayed as a righteous man. As a righteous man. James again says the effectant, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Apparently, God really pays attention to righteous people, which suggests 2 things. Those who are in a right relationship with Him, through His Son Jesus. After all, how can we pray, "Our Father who is in heaven," if we're not one of His children? Through Jesus, we can become a child of God. We can be in a right relationship with Him, where God hears and answers our prayers. But righteousness also indicates, we see from the life of Elijah, that he was striving to live right before Him. Even when he was in the minority, he was standing tall for God. Even when his life was in danger, he was standing for what was right. He was standing up for the will of God. And God heard him, in part, because of his righteousness. I want to conclude with 1 Peter 3, verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Elijah was a great prophet of God. And we may say, well, he was a great prophet. So he had that special connection with God. A special connection indeed. But you notice what James says again? He was a man with a nature like ours. Yes, God, in answer to his prayers, did the miraculous. Those weren't acts of Elijah. Elijah was a man. He was a person just like you and me, James is saying. But he prayed, and a powerful God answered his prayers. And there's a lot we can learn, great principles of prayer we can learn from Elijah. But let's zoom in on this point, that he was a righteous man. And that should be our aim, to live righteous lives before God. And it can be done. We can live faithfully to God just like Elijah did. We can be found in that right relationship with Him through our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can stand up for God. We can stand up for what's right. We can stand up for the truth, just like Elijah did. And what's the blessing? Knowing that God hears and answers our prayers. Are you in that right relationship? Are there changes that need to be made? If of a public nature, we invite you to let that be known right now as together we stand and sing.